Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Next Fan Up. I am your host, Mark Sitko. I am the Eagles superfan on this show. This is a show with superfans. We are the podcast for the fans, by the fans. We have a superfan for every single team. I am joined today by three other superfans. I have with us Ken, who is our San Diego superfan from the Chargers. How you doing, Ken?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I also have Charlie, another California superfan for our 49ers. How you doing, Charlie?
Great. Actually, I'm up in Washington, but I am repping the Niners.
Nice, nice. I'm in California, so I'll take your place here, Charlie, for you there. Monty is our Raiders superfan, another California boy. Are you in California, Monty?
No, afraid not. I'm actually living in Minnesota, right in the middle of the country.
Nice, nice. Now, that's typical, right? Raiders really travel. I find that wherever I go, I find Raiders fans. You guys are, like, all over the country. Yeah. Where are you at, Ken? Are you in San Diego, or are you in a different place of the country?
I am in San Diego, the nicest city in America.
Nice. No, it's pretty amazing. It's by far the best weather, no question. It's amazing down there. Cool, guys. Let's get started. Sadly, we will start with the Philadelphia-Detroit game. I am the Phillies super fan, and we are pretty much done. We were 4-4, and we've lost three games in a row to not amazing teams. I think Tampa Bay was probably the best of the three. We also lost to the Dolphins, and we also lost to Detroit. We've lost our quarterback, so that's a big part of it. But really, in no ways is our team playing like it should. Our defense, which has been the main staple of our team, has totally fallen apart the last 2 weeks specifically. We've given up 45 points in back-to-back weeks. That has never happened in Philly before. Philly turns very fast on its team, and they are already calling for Chip's head and calling for Billy Davis's head. I hope neither of them get fired. I would really like Chip to stick around and see what he can do. I even would like him to keep the GM role for at least one more year to see what he would do to build around these crazy decisions he made. I think we need to build up the offense. We need to get some more weapons for the quarterback. I don't know how you get a better quarterback. I'd love somebody better than Bradford. I think Bradford's serviceable. We'll see what happens. Detroit looked really good in this game. Yeah, their offense was obviously firing on all cylinders. Megatron was Megatron of old. Stafford had some great throws. It was a rough game. Eagles just really didn't hold up in any way. I think we're basically done. The only reason we're not done is because our division, no one wants to take it. The Giants lost to Washington today. We'll get to that eventually. But the Giants, you know, were in position to take off with this thing. And they lost to Washington. And now we're back at square one where no one, you know, who's going to take this division? Who knows? Doesn't really matter because once we get to the playoffs, I don't think whoever's coming in the NFC East is going anywhere. But if anybody is, it would probably be the Giants. They've pulled off runs before. Anybody else, anything on this game before we move on? Not much else to say, I think. No?
Calvin Johnson's pretty good.
It's awesome to see that, man. He's getting up there and he's still playing well. Moving on to Carolina.
Chip Kelly's going to Tennessee, if I had to guess. Chip Kelly will be fired.
That's
and will
bet.
Be coaching Mariota next year. That's my hot take.
I think that makes the most tempting pool for me. I don't understand the college thing. I think that Chip's ego is too big for him to admit that he doesn't belong, you know, that he belongs in the NFL, for him to admit I couldn't make it there and I needed to go back to college. I don't see that happening. Tennessee would be interesting. It's a more broken roster, but you got the quarterback thing figured out. Yeah, we'll see. Very interesting. Moving on to Carolina Dallas. This game, Ken, you had a chance to look at it. What did you see?
I saw two teams that look way, way different. So you have Dallas, and they've been just been waiting for Romo to come back from injured reserve, and he did, and he threw a pick on the first drive, and it only got worse from there, throwing a couple more and getting injured. And on the other side of the coin, you have this Carolina team that refuses to lose, still undefeated. They look like the most complete team in the league. And, you know, the funny thing about them is they might have the MVP and the defensive player of the year on the same roster with Cam Newton, the way he's been playing, and then Josh Norman in the secondary.
Josh is amazing, right? He just is able to shut people down. He truly is that kind of cornerback. Very, very impressive. Yeah, I think Dallas, unfortunately, you know, they're done. Such a shame to see Romo get hurt again. I wonder if his career is done. I mean, do you guys think Romo comes back from this, or is this the end?
It has an air that it looks like it did when Peyton Manning had that awful game in the playoffs last year, and then he's been terrible this year too. That's what this game kind of felt like with Romo. I think he's probably done. He just gets injured too often.
Yeah, but it's not like they have someone waiting in the wings. You know, you can't just go get a quarterback. I mean, they're hard to come by, and Romo is good when he's healthy. As long as he's healthy, I think he's going to give it another go. I just don't see them moving in another direction. There isn't really anyone in the draft that's going to fall to them. I can't think of any new free agents that are going to come on the market. I think it's Romo. They're all in on Romo. Push the chips to the center of the table and see if they get the cards.
What do you guys think of Goff? Kaepernick, you don't think Goff? Oof.
No, I'm not a big fan of Goff down there in Cal, but do they bring Kaepernick in? You know, behind a good offensive line, we learned what he can do in 2012 and 2013, and the Cowboys have a good O-line, and their defense is feisty. So maybe
they bring in one great running back, you know, and then Kaepernick, it'd be really interesting. I mean, he has Dez Bryant. That could do wonders for a kid like Kaepernick.
No way. Jerry Jones goes for RG3.
Yeah, possibly.
Johnny.
They got to bring in somebody because there's nobody behind Robo. So there's got to be somebody there. Oh, Johnny Manziel. That's not impossible. That's not impossible.
I want it.
Let's move on to Chicago-Green Bay. I think most of us expected Green Bay to win this game, especially because they were playing in Green Bay. Chicago pulls out the win. What did you see, Charlie?
Yeah, I thought Green Bay was going to win too. I had two Packers receivers started in my fantasy team. Figured Devonta Adams and James Jones would just be lighting up the Bears secondary. And the Bears came to play. I mean, you know, Jay Cutler threw a touchdown, zero interceptions, just overall looked very poised on that last drive. Very surprised to see Rodgers just still not able to figure it out. It's like he's seeing ghosts in the pocket. He's scrambling when he doesn't need to, and he seems frenetic back there. And it's been really since they played the Rams in week four that it's been like that. When they played the 49ers in week four, it was like that too. Niners held 17 points. You know, and then all of a sudden the Bears and Vic Fangio, who really just owns Aaron Rodgers, stops him for only 13 points. But, you know, I look back to the offseason. I know I got to tie it back to the 49ers. The Niners had the chance to hire Adam Gase, the Bears offensive coordinator, as their head coach and keep Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. And Jed York wanted Tom Sula as his defensive coordinator. And Adam Gase said no and walked away and went to the Bears and resurrected Jay Cutler's career. Jay Cutler looks like an NFL quarterback, and he's 5-6. Hey, they're 1 year into a 3-4 or a 4-3, 2-3-4 scheme change. The Bears could be making waves in this NFC North. Mark my words, I think we're going to have three playoff teams in the NFC North, two wild cards and a division winner next year.
Wow, that's crazy. That's interesting, man. Go ahead.
I think the thing that jumps out about the Bears is they don't have any good players, but they still play well as a team. I mean,
also Jeffrey. Matt Forte?
They don't have any offensive linemen that are good. I mean,
that's true.
I don't know. I look at them and I think, wow, they're a really well-coached team.
For them to pull that out, they really seem like they're coming together. Yeah. They seem to be coming together at the right time. I mean, like, for them to beat somebody like Green Bay, impressive. This might have been the second best game to the game tonight. You know, there was that final drive, Green Bay's going down and just can't pull it off. I thought that was a great game. I thought it was very interesting. Another game where a team is just really pulling out, speaking of that same division, we have Minnesota beating Atlanta 20-10. Monty, you checked out this game. What did you think?
Yeah, I think Minnesota, I mean, they're leading the division. They're going for that old school formula where they're playing really, really good defense, and Adrian Peterson is just showing why he's one of the best backs in the league. He put up 158. He had a couple touchdowns, and he had a 35-yard touchdown run. When you watch the highlight, he just looks like he's got a different gear than everyone else. Teddy Two Gloves is proficient. I mean, nothing's jumping off the stat sheets. He did have an interception. He just kind of reminds me of just that NFL quarterback who's not going to light the statues up on fire. He's just going to play very, like, consistent, conservative football and let his defense and let his running back take over.
Alex Smith.
Yeah, exactly right. He's kind of got, I mean, and who knows? I know he's young and he's still learning, and they usually say, what, third year in a fist takes off, and I'd love to see that for them. But, boy, he looks very conservative. Check down Charlie, whatever you want to call him. He just looks like that. But the defense is good enough that that's all it's going to take to win. They picked off Matt Ryan twice. They held Julio Jones in check. I think it's kind of interesting that the Atlanta Falcons have got this awesome rushing attack this year, right? Devontae Freeman came out of nowhere. Tevin Coleman ran for 110 yards today off of 18 carries. And, like, when I thought of Atlanta going into the season, I just figured Matty Ice would light up the league, throw it to his two wide receivers, and that's not the case. They're more of a running team this year, which I just found kind of odd. But the Vikings are going to be as good as this defense is going to take them. They're going to make it to the playoffs where Teddy's going to need to make some plays, and either he will or he won't. But right now they're 8-3. They're sitting on top of the division. And they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see if this young quarterback can push him over the edge, or maybe Adrian Peterson just going to put it on his shoulders and do what he did a few years ago and just blow off the league. But their defense is good enough to keep him in any game. I would have said the Packers will light him up, but boy, the way the Packers are playing the last few weeks, I think the Vikings have a chance to beat them in Minnesota or Green Bay in the playoffs.
And so you think Minnesota takes the division?
Well, they've got a game lead now, and they beat the Packers head-to-head, so it'll come down to that last meeting. I think they got to play them one more time. So
Minnesota lost to the Packers?
Yeah.
Okay, so interesting coming down. That's a crazy battle. I did not see those guys fighting out. I know Pod has been hating on the Vikings the whole time. He obviously didn't see that happening. It's crazy that it's come down that way. Fascinating. We saw it here today. Atlanta was Pod's boyfriend, and they're done. Sorry, Tim.
I thought Christopher Harris would jump on the call to talk about it a little bit, but not the case.
Yeah, man. St. Louis, Cincinnati. Charlie, you checked this game out. Cincinnati obviously just blew right through them. Anything interesting coming out of the win?
Pretty much just a back on track game for Cincinnati. After those two tosses, Andy Dalton got back on track with three touchdowns and interception, and really just looked very comfortable. The tight end, apologize, can't remember his name. Tyler Eifert.
Eifert continues
to be the basically the baby Gronk. He's him and Kelsey over there in Kansas City are just both amazing tight ends. And I like seeing St. Louis lose. Jeff Fisher should be coaching for his job at this point, along with Chip Kelly and hopefully Jim Tomsula. Tavon Austin is still, a great player there, but they really can't figure out how to utilize him correctly. And Todd Gurley was just absent this game from this game plan. Only 9 carries for 19 yards. Very, very weird that they didn't get him more involved early. The game didn't really get out of hand until the third quarter, and they just seemed to not want to give the ball to Gurley with the how terrible the quarterbacking has been. And so, makes no sense that they're just not giving it to Gurley left and right.
Wow. Cincinnati's on a roll. I'm very curious to see where Cincinnati goes once they get the playoffs. Two teams that I don't think will be in the playoffs. Maybe Houston can pull it off. New Orleans and Houston played. New Orleans put up 6 points in the first half and did not score in the second half. Houston jumped out to a 14-0 lead and basically never looked back. For the Saints not to score in the second half, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Their defense is obviously a joke. They have the worst defensive coordinator in the league. I don't know what's wrong with their offense for it to be this anemic. I think they just literally, because of cap casualties, they had to get rid of too many players. They can't keep up. I want to believe if Breeze had weapons, he could still be effective. But he was 25 for 44, 285, no touchdowns, an interception. I mean, Hoyer made him look horrible. Hoyer, 21 for 27, 205, two touchdowns, one interception. Ingram had a great day, nine carries for 50. Ingram, nine carries for 52. Peyton, I don't know why you're not running. He's getting a great per carry, and Peyton only runs the ball nine times. They weren't that far behind to just totally abandon the running game, but I don't know what Peyton's doing. I don't think he knows how to run an offense if it isn't the kind that has people like Graham and receivers that can make catches and rack. I don't think that he knows what he's doing, which scares me with Peyton. If Chip Kelly gets fired, Peyton is probably the best option in Philly, and I'm not really interested. We'll see what happens. Moving on to other two teams, Ken, San Diego, Jacksonville. San Diego ends their losing streak to pull on a win here. What did you see in the game?
Well, mostly that we can't block anyone still, and despite Rivers being super great, which is the only reason we won this game. Our offensive line was missing two key pieces, Fluker and Dunlap. I saw a stat today that we've had 18 different offensive line rotations this season, which is, spoiler alert, a recipe for disaster. I was writing down notes while I was watching it, and, in the first half, it felt like we literally could not do anything right. And then in the second half, there were just flashes of brilliance from Rivers, having no time to throw, but still getting catchable balls out that his receivers mostly were doing nothing with after the catch. Gates looked pretty good. He caught two touchdowns, but you can tell that he's old, and I'm imagining that this is probably his last season in San Diego. Overall, the Chargers tried their hardest to lose, and Rivers would not allow them to. For instance, in the fourth quarter when the game was supposed to be, putting your winning touch on the game, they lined up 11 men to go block the punt and did. Everyone knew what was happening and it still got blocked. So basically Rivers is really good, but this football team is terrible. And I'm imagining that there needs to be a head coaching change because despite Mike McCoy being a nice person, he has a pro quarterback that's being wasted away.
Would you want somebody like Peyton? What if Sean Payton could go to San Diego?
No. I'll totally take Sean Payton. I was thinking that we could go and get maybe a guy who hasn't done it before, but that's what we just did with McCoy, and it's pretty clear that he doesn't have a grip on reality when it comes to winning football games. And Payton's a Super Bowl winning coach. I'd love to have Sean Payton.
I think Sean could do good things.
San Diego?
I think he would know what to do.
Oh, the San Diego or LA thing. It just makes me sad. That's all it does. I can't think about it because I'm sorry, man.
I'm sorry.
Would you drive up for games, Ken? If there were games up here, like as a San Diego fan, is that too far? What do you think?
It's not too far, but I don't like going to NFL games in person anyway. I'd just rather sit at home and watch five games at once than, my one game. Obviously when the Chargers are on, I only watch that game and then I record other ones. But now watching on TV is it's too good of a product. It's built for TV.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
It's not like a college.
No, the only time I love like a playoff game. I'll definitely go to a playoff game. And my ultimate dream is to be like in Philly for an NFC championship game where we win and get to celebrate going to the Super Bowl. Like that'd be amazing. But I hear you. Yeah, if it's a normal game, usually better to be at home, especially this time of year. Not that it's cold in San Diego, but when it's freezing around the country. Moving on to Tampa Bay, yeah. Indianapolis. Monty, you got to check this game out. Indy was able to pull it out. I think a lot of people didn't expect that, although it seemed the pick-em was about 50-50. What did you see in this game?
Yeah, it was kind of a boring game going into halftime. Tampa Bay had the lead 12-6, and then I don't know if Chuck Pagano made some adjustments or just the team fell apart, but Colts came back and took over. I'm sure the headline for the day is Hasselbeck threw for 300 yards, two touchdowns. It looked like T.Y. Hilton had a couple touchdowns. But boy, did the Colts struggle running the ball. Frank Gore ran the ball for 19 times for 24 yards. So think about that. 19 times, I mean, that's not going to get it done. They're 6-5 right now. They're on top of the horrible AFC South, tied with the Houston Texans. But you got to do better on the ground than that kind of an attack. So I'm sure Colts fans are stoked. Hasselbeck kind of is going to bridge the gap. I don't know if Luck comes back this week or next week. But Colts are right where they need to be going down the final stretch, but they need to learn how to run. The Buccaneers did fine. I mean, Winston's young. You know, he had a pretty solid game, one touchdown, one pick. Doug Martin has been having, you know, a hell of a season, actually. He only ran for 14 times today, got 97 yards, but I think in the second half they just kind of had to start throwing the ball to try to catch up. And, you know, their young team is just not that good, and the Colts, not that good of a team, but, you know, they eked out another win.
Nice. Yeah, unfortunately, Pickham had Tampa Bay. I was expecting them to pull that one out, but, you know, Hasselbeck is a great backup, probably the best backup in the league, having a great time there. Buffalo KC, Charlie, you got a chance to check this game out. We had some nice lead changes in this game. What did you think?
That was a great game, but really, it should have been over than it was. The LeSean McCoy touchdown in the third quarter was off of a punt that, or they were punting, and the Chiefs neutral zone on the punt kept the drive alive because it was less than 5 yards for the offside penalty, and LeSean McCoy is able to cap off the drive with a touchdown. So really, and they did a quarter. So really, it should have been a lot bigger than it was. Just an 8-point victory for the Chiefs. Alex Smith was as efficient as, you know, decent with his arm, two touchdowns, 255 yards, but also with his rushing, has six attempts for 35. And this night wishes after that big game Kaepernick had in Chicago in 2013 that they had gone back with Alex Smith and kept Kaepernick on the bench. It was Alex Smith during his time in San Francisco, and I really wish we still had him under center, although Gabbert is reminding me a lot of Alex Smith. Tyrod Taylor played well too, but overall it wasn't enough with his three touchdown passes. That Kansas City defense is on fire. This team is on the position there with Monty's Raiders trying to get that sixth and last playoff spot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Monty. How you feeling between those two teams? You got confidence? You're going to keep ahead of KC? How you feeling?
I mean, I think it's going to be fun to watch those two teams beat up, but just like the smell test, I mean, when you guys kind of watch the games and you're watching the highlights and stuff, doesn't it just feel like the Steelers and the Jets are just a class above the Chiefs and the Raiders when it comes to the actual playoff team? I mean, I'd love the chips to fall where they may and the Raiders to sneak in there and just get them. The defense is not good enough, and it seems with all the injuries KC's had to battle, just the Steelers and the Jets seem like more complete teams, and if I was a betting man, that's what I'd put my money on. But it'll be fun to watch down the stretch.
Well, that head-to-head win you guys had over the Jets, I would say would mean you guys are the better team, but Kansas City's better on offense than the Jets, and their defense is right up there with that Jets team. So we'll see. Looking forward to it.
Houston left the game today, the $100 million sack guy, so that bodes well for the Raiders next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pittsburgh, I agree with you. I think they are just because of that offense, that prolific offense, they're in a class above. But the Jets, I mean, they had a great game today. But the Jets, I think they're not as a complete team yet. It's an interesting question, who's more incomplete? But I think you guys are right in that class. I see the Jets right in your guys' level. I think it's going to come down to either KC, Jets, or probably your team for that spot. Great battles, man. It's going to be awesome. Moving on to the Miami Jets game. The Jets, you know, they just dismantled Miami. This was not even really a contest. The best part of Miami was Landry going 13 receptions for 165 and a touchdown. But the Jets, I mean, the Jets had a shutout in the first half. Tanny, 33 for 58. You were talking about that other team. Who were you saying, Monty, that wasn't running enough, right? Who had that, what was it, 18 for 24? Is that what you said?
Frank Gore for the Colts.
Yeah, 18 for 24. Here we had 9 for 12. That's the entire team. The entire Dolphins team There were 9 total carries for 12 yards, a long of 5 yards. That's ridiculous. You can't have Tannehill throwing the ball 58 times. I understand that, you know, the Jets have a good front 7, but that's completely abandoning the run. That's a joke. That's Madden stats. That's ridiculous. Fitzy was 22 for 37, 277 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's impressive, man. I'm very blown away that they're at that level on an offense. I know they're going up against the Dolphins defense, but that's a great game. Ivory, 21 for 87 and a touchdown. Like I said, I think the Jets are one of the few teams that are up there at the top fighting honestly for a wild card spot in the AFC. There's more of a competition in the AFC, I feel like, than the NFC. There's more teams in the game, and I think the Jets are definitely one of them. I'd love to see what would happen if they made it to the playoffs, what kind of havoc they could cause with that defense. Monty, going back to your team, Oakland, Tennessee, another team in this race. You guys pulled out the win, a big win at this time of the year. What did you see in the game?
Oh, man, just an ugly, ugly game between two teams that just are not that good. Rained in the second half. I think the third quarter, both teams had, like, literally in the teens of actual offensive yards. Raiders pulled it off. There's a rookie receiver named Seth Roberts who had 100 and a couple touchdowns. Amari Cooper came back on. I think Marcus Mariota looks good, but he just doesn't have any weapons. He ran when he had to. He outran Khalil Mack around the corner. He's just showing how fast he is. But he's not like a running quarterback. He just did it when the play broke down. So I think they've got the quarterback. They just don't have any weapons for him to throw the ball to. The Raiders tried to give the ball away. They're not very good on the road. But in the end, the Tennessee Titans haven't won a game since week 6 of last year in Tennessee. And the Raiders just, you know, their defense isn't that good, but their offense is good enough when they're clicking to put a few points on the board. So Raiders defense played well enough. I think they shut down the run pretty well. It was one of their best games against the run, but probably the weather had to do with that. And I mean, I love the Raiders. They're playing as good as I could have ever hoped for, but man, the last 2 losses really were like a kick in the gut. So, you know, they're still in the mix, but they're kind of on the back end. They're going to need some help to get in. And, you know, Derek Carr still made some bad plays. They muffed some snaps. I mean, it's just, they look like a young team that still has a ways to go before they're ready to make the push, but they're knocking on the door, man. They're ready. They're going to be in the mix this year, and they're definitely going to be competing for the division next year, in my opinion.
No, I think that's true, man. I'm really excited for that. That's an incredible turnaround. It's just awesome to see a team that was at the bottom of the league for so long coming together. I love watching Carr throw the ball. Really exciting stuff. Getting back to one last game. Oh, I do. Me? You're talking about the Eagles?
Well, just any team in general. I mean, there's the really good teams that are like the class of the league, the elite teams, and there's always the really bad teams. And the rest of the teams, it's just quarterback play. If you've got a good quarterback who's proficient, like an Alex Smith, you can win enough games to be competitive. And if you've got a quarterback who, you know, Derek Carr might be good, he might not be good, we'll see how it goes, but, you know, You just need to have good quarterback to play, and then you can compete in this league. And for the first time in 12 years, the Raiders have one, so it's exciting.
I thought he had an excellent game on that touchdown. That was huge for him. It just seemed like that was one of those games that when you win that, it builds confidence for your entire team. Yeah, Tennessee's not a good team to play against, but you went on the road on a 1 o'clock Eastern time start. And you won the game at last second. You did what you needed to do to win. You escaped, and that's what starts building confidence within your team. I could see Oakland making a run at that wild card. They just got to outpace that terrible defense.
I agree, man. He's made some awesome plays, but, you know, he's still young where every game, at least once or twice a game, I'm yelling curse words at the TV because you just can't throw the ball there. So, I mean, sometimes he makes the play like today and wins the game, and then a couple weeks ago he'll throw one right to the defense where you just, you know, throw your beer bottle against the wall and hope for better luck next week.
That's a true Raiders fan right there. Just, I want to imagine your living room just smashed beer bottles all over the wall.
some years better than others.
I watched the New York Giants-Washington game. In this game, Yeah, talk about two quarterbacks. We see Cousins actually coming together and looking like maybe he is going to be the future there, which is fascinating. Eli on the decline, starts off with two interceptions. By the end of the first half, the Giants are already down 17-0. Eli at that point was 10 for 22, 91 yards, and two interceptions. No touchdowns, obviously. The Giants D is just really not enough. They had a chance at the end. They pushed to come back, and that's really all thanks to ODB. I mean, he's very good, and Odell Beckham Jr. and Eli, you know, obviously still can make some passes. But yeah, on a day that they, if they had won today, I think everyone would have said the Giants are taking the NFC East. It was literally a playoff game against an inferior team, I believe. I don't think Washington is that good, and the Giants can't do it. And so now the division is still up for grabs with people like me. The Philadelphia Eagles definitely do not belong in the playoffs, but we play the Giants the last week of the season. We beat the hell out of them earlier. If they're not more than a game up, we're taking this division. Ah, it's fascinating. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Washington will go on a run, but the Giants still have to play Carolina. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. Like I said earlier, I don't think any of us are going anywhere. But this division, man, God, what a joke. This is the worst I've ever seen the NFC East. I think that statistically holds up. I don't think there's ever been a time this late in the season in my lifetime that I can remember every single team being under 500, and the likelihood of one of these teams taking this division at 7-9 is very possible. Crazy, 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 crazy. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, I'm amazed Washington is the team that looks the most impressive right now. How is that possible? How is that even possible? Okay, going back there, we had two great games here tonight. Pittsburgh-Seattle. Ken, you checked this game out. What did you see?
Well, first of all, it was just kind of an exciting game to watch. It was the game that I felt like everyone was watching it. It felt like a primetime game, and it really delivered, you know, back and forth the entire way through. These things, getting long touchdowns. Wilson was doing the same thing. It was a great quarterback battle. And it was just really entertaining. I thought that Pittsburgh felt to me like they should have won the game, but they gave up way, way, way too many big plays. And that, I mean, their defense was non-existent today. It was embarrassing to watch. But give Seattle credit. They looked good. Wilson really, really looked good. I think these teams are both probably playoff bound, and hopefully we'll get some more exciting matchups out of them the rest of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, go ahead.
Doesn't look like they needed them today, but it just came across the NFL.com. Jimmy Graham is out for the year, torn patella in his knee.
That might benefit them. Just like when Harvin went out, all of a sudden the team started playing better, because they weren't trying to scheme to one player. I could see that being better for them.
Interesting.
Well, that Rawls kid is doing well, but boy, they need Marshawn Lynch back out there. Does it say on the broadcast how long until he comes back?
The season, I believe. It depends on how they did the sports hernia surgery. If they actually cut him open and applied a mesh to the injury, that keeps it from re-injuring, but it has a longer heal time. If they went in through the belly button for that sports hernia injury, then he is likely going to be back by playoffs or maybe the last game of the season against the Cardinals in week 17. But it could be re-injured. And that's for Ross Tucker on the Ross Tucker podcast on Friday.
Gotcha.
Wow. It's crazy. I was telling Ken before this game to see these two teams that are thought of as defensive powerhouses shoot it out. You know, it's just something we usually don't see from these two teams. I know Pittsburgh defense hasn't been a scary defense for a while, but Seattle, it's really this year for the first time that their defense is not quite the same. And you see that these are now two offenses that can really put points up if they need to. What did you think, Ken, of the final call there when Tomlin went for a field goal from the 4 on 4th and 4 rather than getting the touchdown and going for the lead? Did you think that was a good call?
Yeah.
Or what was your thoughts on that?
Right then and there is when I thought, you know, I was saying that it felt like Pittsburgh should have won the game. I felt like they should have gone for it and gone up by whatever it would have been instead of just taking the – I thought it was It was a coward coaching decision to not go for that. I mean,
cautious.
They,
so safe.
Yeah. It reminded me of Mike McCoy, and you never want to remind me of Mike McCoy. You never want to do that when you're making a coaching decision. If you're thinking, hey, Mike McCoy might do this, you don't do it. You don't do it. Huh. That's a loser way to play football.
Our it's like Cowboys the Newman, like from Seinfeld.
A big point that they probably did that because Big Ben was hurt on the third down scramble. So they probably decided we can't send in a quarterback off the bench to go for it on fourth down for the game. So they decided to rely on the defense, and we all.
I roll Big Ben out there. He's fine when he's injured anyway. It doesn't matter if he's injured. That guy's a superhuman. He's a robot.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's one of those things. I know Pod makes fun of me when I say this, but I play a lot of Madden. I play 500 games of Madden a year. That's a lot of iterations of football games, and you go for it there. I can tell you that. I've done it that many times that in that situation, you have to take the lead. If you have a chance to take the lead and there's only like 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left in a game, you take the lead. And if you lose the game, you lose the game. But I just want to point out, they're a team that's going for it on two every single time, and you're only on the four? I don't know. I would have gone for it there. But as soon as they kicked that, I knew the game was over. It went a little crazy after that, and there was still a chance, I guess, but obviously they couldn't stop Seattle, and they hadn't been stopping Seattle all game. I think that was my problem. It's like you just look at the rest of the game. If you've been shutting them down all game, sure, maybe you kicked a field goal. But when they've just been running up and down the field on you, scoring touchdowns at will, exactly what they did on the next drive when they won the game, you can't rely on your defense. Your defense isn't that good. Black and yellow, sit down. Score a touchdown. Your best thing is your offense. Rely on it. But yeah, I don't know. I felt this was – I'm now the head of Pick'em. I'm keeping up my Pick'em picks. Greg had gained a game on me on Thanksgiving. So I'm sorry, Greg. I think this was heartbreaking, not only to see your team lose that game so close, but also it kept me one game ahead up there in Pick'em. The final game we looked at here, another close game, Charlie. I was very impressed with how the Niners played. Arizona-San Fran, what did you see?
Oh, as was I. The team played fantastic on defense, but the Niners aren't a good team. I mean, you know, the two plays that defined the Niners this year was a dropped pick in the end zone that Tremaine Brock had. There was literally no one around him. Carson Palmer threw up the ball for grabs. His receiver must have quit on the play, and he drops it. That resulted in 3 points for the Cardinals. Towards the end of the game, in fact, it was the last drive of the game that the Cardinals scored on. Navarro Bowman was set up for an interception. It got tipped by Jared Hodges, who basically did a perfect job of defending his own defender. And, didn't get the interception. If the Niners would have gotten that, they'd have been in field goal range, could have taken the lead there. But really, I mean, still very excited to see the defense play so well, excited for Blaine Gabbert. I said on this podcast in the preseason that Blaine Gabbert reminded me of Alex Smith, and he really does, probably more athletic even, knows when to run a lot more than Colin Kaepernick ever did, has a better throw on the run ability, and, he even had a deep ball to Torrey Smith. That was just a beautiful throw. All of a sudden, Vance McDonald has became alive. Second touchdown in this week as well as last week. So Niners are playing very, very well. They have the ilk of a bad team. You know, like the Ravens who looked so good in so many games, they lose everything that's close. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the officiating in this game. Horrible calls. At one point, there was a 20-minute delay in the middle of the second quarter because the refs forgot what down it was. All right? Ooh, so not only was there a 20-minute delay because they went up to each coaching staff and each sideline to ask, and explain the situation, then Pete Morelli gets on the headset to freaking New York to talk to the head of officiating, Dean Blandino, to figure it out. Then they got the play wrong. It was wrong. And this is all this all started with the Niners having 14 players on the field for a defensive snap. It didn't get called until after the play. They called it after the play, and the debate was whether it was a dead ball foul, which does count the down, or a live foul, which doesn't count the down, and then Arizona would have had this. Now, that or would have had the extra down. That happened two downs later, so Arians had to have different play calling because it was he thought it was second down, when in reality it was third. So you can imagine how that changes your play calling.
Did you say 14 players on the field?
14. Yes, 14. Yeah. Yep.
That's so amazing.
That also typifies a bad team.
That also typifies a bad team.
Did they at least make a play?
Oh, the Niners got the stop, and it went for a field goal for the Cardinals. So, yeah, it could have been a big turning point in the game. But it's okay because on the last drive of the game for the Cardinals, on a stunt, Quentin Dial had Carson Palmer dead to rights, buried his face mask into his chest. I say that very emphatically because they called a roughing the passer penalty, extended the drive for Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. On the very next play, with zero time left on the play clock, they snap the ball, throw the ball down to the 1 yard line. Two plays later, Carson Palmer takes a bootleg in for a touchdown. It's really hard to watch the NFL with this type of officiating. And I know we have the technology to make it better, and it's frustrating to not see it be better, regardless of on whether it's against the 49ers or against the Cardinals or against your team or against whoever's team. Just get the call right. That's all I care about. I'm sick and tired of bad officiating. It happened it happens in college. It happens in the NFL. Give us full-time officials or bring in robots, you know? It's really hard to watch football right now. These calls are deciding games. Let's go back to the Detroit game against the Seahawks. Seahawks should have six losses right now, but no, they can't even call something that's right in the rule book. It's very frustrating. Why do you have Dean Blandino call an official on the sidelines and you still can't get a call right? Why do you even have these protocols? Games are taking forever. Officials are getting into these long scrums to talk about just basic things. A 20-minute delay? It's ridiculous. Sorry, I'm fired up. Yeah. Niners lost. The Cardinals were better. But I would have loved to have seen an upset there. But it's hard to watch football right now with how much bad officiating we're seeing.
Oh, you're talking about
Raiders. I totally agree with you.
Bad officiating. There's been bad officiating since the Immaculate Deception, the Tuck Rule. I mean, you give them all the technology in the world, they're still making bad calls.
Yeah. My big thing about the Niners is what happened to the fun Niners? I don't watch the Niners anymore. They're just totally irrelevant. But back like 2 or 3 years ago, turning on the Niners was a great thing. You got this crazy football psychopath as a head coach, defense, run game, Kaepernick who could take off. And now they're just blah. They're the worst team to watch on TV, I think.
So Charlie,
with Kaepernick, he is. With Kaepernick, he is.
You've got a few games in now. Are you a believer in Blaine Gabbert, the real American?
Absolutely.
Are you hoping for
absolutely.
An upgrade?
Absolutely. Really? I want them to not draft a quarterback this year. They're going to get a top five pick, most likely. But do you see, besides maybe Paxton Lynch is going to be a good NFL QB. I'm not a fan of Jared Goff. We can get into all this in the postseason or in the postseason podcast, but Bruce Arians even said that he could build a team around Blaine Gabbert. Honestly, I think Blaine Gabbert's a great player. He's 26 years old, 2 years younger than Kaepernick. Go ahead and tune into a Niners game now that Kaepernick is the quarterback.
Well,
tune into the Niners
Carlos,
game. He's a
Carlos
better player.
Hyde is hurt. He's good, right? I mean, you've got
exactly.
a couple of good young pieces.
If he plays, you know, who knows? But I hope they shut him down for the season. He's got a stress fracture in his leg. We don't need the best player on our team to get hurt.
Charlie, what about the coach? Do you like the coach? Do you want him to
stick
around?
For all fantasy players, when I hope they at least bring him back in for week 14, 15, 16.
I got him on my team too, bro. Tom Sula, after watching them, the conservative play calling, against Seattle, and the way they came out of the bye against Seattle, I got to say, I hope they get rid of him. I would have loved to have Adam Gase and Vic Fangio back, but now they're gone. You know, I don't know who they bring in, but I would love to have someone who's better with quarterbacks, because they kept G. Chris, the offensive coordinator, for Kaepernick. Now Kaepernick's gone and will likely not play another snap for the Niners. So let's get a real offensive coordinator in and let's see what he can do with Blaine Gabbert.
Right on, guys. Well, this was a great show. I appreciate it. We are closing off here. We have two more games this weekend. A great game going on right now, New England versus Denver. It's not going to matter when you hear this podcast later, but New England is currently winning 7-0. We'll see how that plays out. Possibly the worst Monday night game of the season tomorrow. A Baltimore team with almost no offensive weapons left, and a Cleveland team that is from Cleveland, so that, you know, what we expect. That's going to be a horrible, horrible game. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Ken, Charlie, Monty. Again, we are Next Fan Up, the podcast for the fans, by the fans, NFL all week, all the time. We have a bunch of super fans covering the games. On Thursdays, we do preview shows. On Sunday nights, we recap all the action. Pod Vader is our fearless leader. You can follow us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, just typing in Next Fan Up. You'll find our page. Please subscribe. Please go on and rate it. Rate the show. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever your favorite way to subscribe to podcasts is. Every single smartphone in the world has a podcast app on it. They come automatically. Go in there, type in Next Fan Up. You will find us. Subscribe. We'd love feedback. And if you want to be one of the super fans, please write in. You'll notice that some of these guys, like Ken, Charlie, and Monty, these are our super fans who are on every week, and they're our best super fans. But we have other super fans who don't show up. And so we're always looking for new members, people that can really commit to this and be on weekly shows and be passionate about their teams. We appreciate it, guys. Yeah, thank you guys so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
We're on to Cincinnati.